We have been reciting a verse for a month here, Psalm 100, verse 4. I trust by now it's pretty familiar to you. I'd like to use that verse that is so familiar now as kind of a keynote to begin thinking about being thankful. It is a virtue that we often omit. We need to cultivate a thankful spirit. In Psalm 100, the psalmist says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." A marvelous statement of the greatness of God and of the reasonableness of our being thankful. Now, friends, we need to cultivate the grace of being thankful. It is sad when people become unthankful and take everything for granted. Other things. There are so many churches in this world where there is no such thing as comfort. People come to a church with a dirt floor and with walls through which the cold or the heat may come, as the case may be, and there's no relief. But we take it all for granted. And we come here and we enjoy these things, and how rarely we think of thanking God for what he has done. Thanking him for the fact that when it's cold, we have heat in here. There are many churches in Europe and Asia where when it gets cold, there is no heat. You just shiver. And in the other direction, where in summer we have cooling to add to our comfort. I've been in churches in Africa where there is no such thing as air conditioning. The heat is absolutely astounding. But they come by the hundreds and worship God. The privilege is greater than any inconvenience. We have so many conveniences. We take it all as ours by right, instead of pausing every time. Some of you have been in backgrounds like that, and you know what that's all about. That's sad. But to come to a church where everyone is agreed that God should be supreme, that the Lord Jesus should be honored all the time, not just once in a while, that the Spirit of God should control our attitudes as well as our conduct. What a blessing to have fellowship like this and to be able to sing God's praises and thank him from the heart for blessings that really few people enjoy in this world. Now, there are many things that we can think about that we should be thankful for good health, for the ability to think clearly and understand his word and be able to share it with others. There are churches where they're regarded as subversives. The early church was in this category. They met together sometimes rather secretly. The authorities did not appreciate their gathering together. There are still many lands where that is true. Christians gather together at the risk of their lives. We need to be thankful for the blessedness of being able to praise and worship God in a free country where we don't have to hide and slink about in order to attend worship services. What a blessing that is. I'd like to turn to Psalm 147 and verse 7. This is a psalm that gives us a command concerning thankfulness, and we should take all such commands seriously. Psalm 147, 7. "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God." Now this, and the joy that is to be able to sing his praises and celebrate his greatness Sunday after Sunday. We rejoice in the ability to celebrate through music how great God is. That's a wonderful blessing. Well, there are many churches in this very land where they don't have any such music department. I've been in churches where if the song leader was absent, they sang a cappella. There was nobody there with musical skills. And oftentimes the music was, I hate to say it, amusing rather than effective. But it's the best they could do. We're blessed here to have such beautiful music by soloists and ensembles and instrumentalists, as well as choirs and congregational singing, skillful leadership. And we appreciate this. It makes our worship so blessed. And we need to thank God for this. These are not things that we should just assume are ours. And we should thank Him specifically for how blessed we are in the music that we have, as well as in the preaching, the attention to the Word and obedience to the Word that we have in this congregation. That is a rich blessing. And I think the reference there to sing praise upon the harp unto our God, justification for our instrumentalists here. What a blessed privilege that is to be able to play an instrument to the glory of God. Specifically commended in Scripture. How blessed that is, and how we ought to thank God for such privileges. And by the way, if some of you are skillful, whether in singing or instrumentally, why don't you volunteer to Brother Eric? See if you can't become part of the celebration that is here. This is not a closed fellowship. It's wide open. And your services would be greatly appreciated. So consider all that you can do in a church like this. In verse 11, he says, "The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy." God takes pleasure in those that wish to praise His name, wish to celebrate His greatness. He is pleased by such desires. We can certainly do all that we can to increase His pleasure in what we are doing. Notice verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." Yes, we should think of that, that this is indeed something that causes God pleasure, and we can participate in this praising of His name. How thankful we should be that we have such a blessed privilege. Now, let us turn to Colossians 2:7. Colossians 2:7. Paul, in Colossians, is speaking about the spiritual needs of the Colossians. And he says in verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now, this is an interesting observation that Paul makes here. He speaks about the security that we have in Christ, that we are rooted and built up in Him. And he's mixing metaphors here very deliberately. Rooted like a great tree with deep roots that go well into the ground, that will stand the storms of life. But then built up with solid foundations like a building, built up to be a monument of His praise and glorification. So he uses these images to show the stability of the Christian life, how sure it is when it is built on Christ, when we are rooted in Him, built upon Him as the great foundation. Now, this is certainly something we can afford to meditate upon, and certainly to be thankful for, to express to Him our joy at such a solid foundation as we have in Christ, such a blessed rooting in Him. In verse 10, he says, "And ye are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." That foundation, the Greek word, we're in fragments. And when we broken instrument, but as one made whole. So the image of being rooted and founded and so on is extended here, made whole in Christ. What a blessed thought that is. And how marvelous that is, in that as long as we live, our salvation is growing. I don't mean that you're more saved one day than you were the day before, but that God's sanctifying grace is at work in His people, so that He is forming, shaping us into the image of His dear Son. And that means our salvation is being strengthened. Our salvation is being deepened, enlarged by the grace of God as the Spirit works in us to make us more of what we should be. We are justified by Christ for once and for all when we are saved. But sanctification, the actual impartation of spiritual grace and strength, is something that goes on all our lives. We are being more sanctified all the time. He is working on us to make us what we should be, to mold our lives. That is something we can be profoundly thankful for. We are all conscious that we have not made it yet. We have not arrived. There's a good deal further down the pathway that we need to walk. And God's grace is causing us to go farther down the pathway, making us what we should be. How thankful we should be that He is so patient, so loving, so persistent in making us what we should be. He will not let us go. He will not turn His back upon us. He is constantly working upon us, making us what we should be. How we should be praising His name, that He doesn't give up on us. We've surely given Him plenty of grounds to just abandon us. But no, He keeps on working, graciously making us what we should be, molding us through the Word, molding us through Christian fellowship, molding us through God's Spirit dwelling in us, moving us from within to go in the right direction. How many things we have to stop and thank God for, to praise His name. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warns believers about the dangers of the pathway. In verse 1, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." Now here is a verse that definitely gives us provision for thanking God for food. Now, saying a blessing at meals, thanking God for food, that's a testimony that we have. The world doesn't bother with this largely. They take it for granted that they're always going to have food on the table. They take it for granted that they're always going to be eating. Well, that is not the case. There are a good many people that cannot eat. They have to be sustained by artificial means. There are people who, when they eat, get sick from what they eat. There's all kinds of difficulties in the world. The world thinks grace of God paused to thank God before every meal. He was a devout believer. He didn't do it for show. He did it because he was genuinely grateful for God. Now, friends, many times we receive His gifts and His grace and so on. We don't bother to say thank you. There are Christians who are so timid that in a restaurant, they won't ask God's blessing on the food. It would be too strange. Well, who are you principally concerned with? Are you concerned with what people say about you? Or are you concerned with what God thinks about you? For the believer, there should be no contest there. If you are concerned about what God thinks of you, then common politeness means you say thank you for a gift. And everything you eat is a gift from God. Now, friends, we need to cultivate these graces. We need to remember that we are living here in the sight of God. And when we take our food for granted and bolt down meals without even saying thank you. We're saying something to God that His grace and His provision is not much appreciated. Now, ingratitude is a vice. We all will confess that. But we need a thankful spirit to one another as well as to God. But we should especially cultivate that grace of thanking God. For He every day supplies us with good things. Every day His mercies are new every morning. We need to thank Him. First thing when you wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity this day. That should be our first thought. And how many times we wake up worrying, I've got to hurry up and do this and hurry up and do that and so on. And don't think of how gracious God is, how much He has provided for us in a new day. How many times at night we go to bed and just go to sleep and never pause to say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunities. Thank you for the blessings of the day. Friends, we must cultivate that thankful spirit. In the ancient world, they used to have standing stones in the Mideast to remind people of past blessings of God. That's still a habit in the Mideast. You'll see stones erected along the side of a road. And always there's some spiritual thing that has happened there. We need to erect some standing stones for us. Pick out a very obvious thing. Is it the door of a church? And let that be the standing stone every time you see that door. Thank you, Lord. Is it a corner of your bed? You finally get a chance to see it. Is that the time you say, thank you, Lord, I can crawl in it? You know, standing stones, specific places where every time you see that, yeah, here's a place that I stop and thank God. Too often, we just go through our day with no markers there to remind us to thank God, to remind us how gracious He is. We need to erect some standing stones in our own life, so that we're reminded to pause and give Him thanks for such abundant mercies and grace that's just poured out upon us day after day. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, proud, we trust in God. We trust in His sustaining grace. And we need to constantly cultivate this grace of trusting in Him indeed, and thanking Him day after day for the blessings, the benefits, the grace that He pours upon us. We trust in a living God, not a stone idol that can't hear us. A living God that hears our thanks, that hears our praises, that hears that spirit within us that is thankful for what God is doing all the time. God is listening. We need to be conscious of that, and thinking of how He gives us richly all things. He has poured out upon us such grace and blessing. Now, the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 9. John takes us to the future to see things that we can't see today. But in verse 8, the four living beings had each of them wings full of eyes within, and rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And when those living beings give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Here is a scene of immense majesty in heaven, where these mighty archangelic beings celebrate the greatness of God, crying out His great virtues. And the 24 elders, in all probability, the patriarchs and the apostles, as representatives of all the people of God, gathered there in His presence, sing His praises and give thanks, among other things, to Him. This is daily life in heaven. This is why we are created, friends. We are not created to work and make money and build houses and accomplish local purposes. We are created to celebrate God. In the ages to come, this will be our main business, to sing His praises, to proclaim how great He is, to think in His presence of the immense blessing of spending eternity in the presence of the Lord of the universe, who has provided so richly for His people. My friends, do we go through our life here, busy with this and that and the other, and never thinking what our main business is? Our main business is to celebrate God, to praise God, to give Him the thanks and the glory that He deserves. That's where we're going, friends, if you His being. Courage in the midst of whatever happens here. We have a glorious destiny. We must thank Him for it now. And remember, the thanks will never end. It will be an eternity of celebration in the presence of the Lord of the universe. How gracious He is to welcome such as you and I into His presence. How thankful we should be. In Revelation 7, verse 12, the angels fell before the throne upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Here the angelic hosts praise God and give thanks to God. We have no idea what that sounds like. When the prophets and apostles heard angelic voices, they were absolutely stunned. I'm sure it is something that will be an astonishment to us. When we think of a human voice, we think of the voice of a single person, the voice of a whole group singing together. That's wonderful. But probably, considering how great the angelic hosts are, one angel can sing better praise to God than the biggest congregation on earth. And you have hosts of angels who sing God's praises. What an experience that is going to be. We need to let our minds reach out to that age to come where we will be part of that celebration. We can add our voices to the hosts that are in heaven. Billions of people in the history of the world, in the presence of God, singing His praises in a way that no earthly choir could ever do. We need to let our minds dwell upon what lies before us. What a tremendous honor to celebrate and give thanks to the glory of God. Surely, we can find occasion to do so here. In Revelation 11 and verse 16, the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Yes, God is going to institute his great kingdom throughout the universe. His rule will never end. And here, the saints are celebrating how great he is and giving thanks to him for what he is doing. He will bring in his great kingdom when the time comes. He will rule over all things. He promises it is a sure thing. Friends, we need to rest. If you are not sure of that, thanksgiving has no real meaning. But if the Lord Jesus Christ has blotted out your sins, if they are under the blood of the Lamb, if his sacrifice has made you a child of God, you have eternal grounds for thanksgiving. Not just one day in the year, but every day. And not just while you're here, but for all eternity. Grounds for celebrating God and thanking him for a salvation so great, a Savior so mighty that he could save even me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Has he cleansed you from your sins? If you aren't sure, would you in this quiet moment ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you and blot out your sins, that his blood might wash your soul clean? If that is your heart's prayer and you are not sure of your salvation, would you slip up your hand to say, "Pray for me. I want to be sure of my salvation this night." Don't wait. If God has spoken to your heart, slip your hand up. It may be that you are sure, and you know you have tremendous grounds for thanksgiving, but you haven't been saying so to the Lord. Would you take this opportunity in your heart to vow to him, "Yes, Lord, cause me to be thankful. Put within my heart a spirit of thanksgiving, that every day I may thank thy name." O Lord, how we praise thee for how great thou art. How we celebrate thy greatness and love. We thank thee, Lord, for sending the Lord Jesus to die for our sins, that we might live forever. How we thank thee, Lord, for providing for us every need, helping us along the pathway, and thy promise of welcoming us into thy presence when we leave this realm. How we thank thee, Lord, for how loving thou art and how gracious thy provision for thy people. Help us every day, Lord, to be thankful. Remind us every day, Lord, how much we should thank thee for. And give thy people a thankful spirit, that we may go through life singing to thee, praising thy name, thankful for all thy grace and love in Christ Jesus. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.